Good morning and welcome to Friday Chapel. I'm Carmen Schrock-Hurst. I teach in the Bible and Religion Department. I also direct a program here at EMU called MIP, which stands for Ministry Inquiry Program. Catholic priest and author Henry Nouwen once said this quote about church and leadership. He said, "It's clear that a whole new type of leadership is needed in the church of tomorrow, a leadership which is not modeled on the power games of the world, but on the servant leader Jesus." And that's part of what the MIP program is about, is helping to develop the gift of servant leaders. MIP is a program that was started by Mennonite Church USA, but I want to dispel the myth. You do not need to be a Mennonite to participate in it, and you do not need to be a Bible and religion major. So as we will see from today, you can come from a variety of different majors and backgrounds to participate in this program. It is an opportunity to earn up to $2,000 in your summer by doing an 11-week full-time internship. So if some of you don't have your summers planned yet and that $2,000 figure piques your interest, you can talk with me after chapel. We're going to hear from two of the folks who did MIP this past summer. Nathaniel Ressler, who is a junior Bible and Religion Congregation and Youth Ministries major. Nathaniel is from Mount Vernon, Illinois, and he did a rural sort of a placement in Goshen, Indiana at Silverwood Mennonite Church. And then Hannah Heisman from Keyseltown, Virginia is a senior. She is, let me see if I can get this right, Peace Building and Development major with minors in Gender and Political Studies and Environmental Sustainability. So she's well-rounded. And Hannah was in a placement in Philadelphia at West Philadelphia Mennonite Church. So once we've heard from each of them a bit about their summer, I'll just say a few more words about the program. Thank you, Hannah and Nathaniel.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nathaniel. I am a Heston transfer, so go Larks. Junior Mount Vernon, all those wonderful things, she said. So growing up, I was a PK, which some of you may know, some of you may not. That's pastor's kid. So I grew up in this atmosphere of church. I grew up heavily involved in church, not out of coercion, but out of like desire. So I've kind of been in the scene, like really closely connected to the scene from the very beginning, from my very existence. So I felt like I had a pretty good grasp of what pastoral leadership was, of what it looked like being a pastor, of what the connections were, of how you relate to people, of how the job works, et cetera, et cetera. But doing this experience, having this experience for me personally, was really eye-opening because I got to be put in a position where I'm no longer the one looking in, but rather the one looking out. And it was really kind of like mind-blowing how different and how complex it is. So if nothing else, this was a wonderful experience just for my own perception. So I went to Silverwood Mennonite Church, and it's a congregation in Goshen of about 150 regular attenders, 250 members, somewhere in there. Really fairly young congregation. I stayed with a host family that was there. They lived less than a mile down the road. So I got to bike to work every morning, so that was exciting. And I got to interact with their family a lot, and that was a really wonderful experience getting to know their family. They have three kids, 8 and 11, so that was really fun, since I like kids, to have fun with them. But my role at MIP, what I did, was just about everything. I was kind of just like the mini pastor. So I taught Sunday school for the high school class, I did visitations, I did a lot of work with VBS, so Vacation Bible School. I preached a Sunday. They wouldn't let me preach anymore, so that's sad. I led music, I led worship, I went to a lot of meetings, and I did service work. And what I really like about my experience with MIP, with the things that I was doing, was that I got to do a lot of things that I was really comfortable with, like leading worship, leading music, preaching, doing visitations. Those are things I'm really comfortable with, things that I really enjoy doing. But then I also got to do things that I was like, less certain of, that I was like, I don't really know. Like, teaching high school, Sunday school, it's like, I'm only like 5 years older than these people. Like, I don't know how to write lesson plans. And they were just kind of like, all right, teach the class. There you go. And so that was a stretching experience for me, but it was good. And some of the service work stuff I wasn't quite as certain on. But it was really good because I got to, like I said, operate in what I was uncomfortable with, what I was comfortable with. So I got to kind of have this familiarity. Then I also got to be stretched and pulled and prodded and all these wonderful things. This experience really revealed to me, like I said earlier, the complexities of pastoral leadership. There's so many facets to what it means to be a pastor and what it means to lead a congregation that I didn't even think of. And it was a really blessing to experience that, not only for my own life, but to help me understand my father better. And kind of growing up, I can think of events and things. I'm like, why did Dad do this? And it makes me understand my dad more. So that's cool. It also taught me, to a certain degree, time management. Now, I'm still kind of a procrastinator when it comes to homework, as some of the teachers may know. But time management in the sense of, so one of the pastors there, so it was a pastoral team at Silverwood. There were four part-time pastors. And one of the pastors there suggested to me that I keep a log of all my work hours. So every time when I would come home from come home from work, I would write down, so I spent an hour at a meeting, I spent 2 hours writing a lesson plan, I spent et cetera, et cetera. So I would log out all the hours of my work. And I was able to compile all of those and see how much work I spent where, and that was a really interesting experience. And I went to a lot of meetings. I went to a ton of meetings, which some people may sound awful, but most of the time the meetings were fairly engaging, minus the financial meetings. But this experience, MIP, really helped me. I really feel confident that it prepared me more to be a leader in the church, directly connects to pastoral leadership, which I'm kind of looking at. But I think that this, if you are involved in a church at all, I fully and honestly believe that this is a very, very, very profitable experience. It's very edifying, even if you're just like, you know, I'm going to be like an accountant, but I still am going to go to church. This experience for me was really awesome. But MIP, even if you're not like really big into the church scene, MIP goes beyond just like going and working at a church, because I know that there were other MIPers, but two of them spoke last semester. One of them wasn't necessarily connected doing directly church work. So MIP is broader than just like going and interning at a church. But for me, in my experience, that's what it was, and it was awesome. Thank you.
So I had an incredible summer, so please bear with me as I race through my notes in what hopefully will be a comprehensive manner. So I'll just begin. I have often characterized my faith journey as one of whimsy, paired with the admittedly cliche image of dancing. I visualize myself bouncing along, leaning into the tempo, enjoying myself tremendously, sensitive to nudges and pulls in different directions. I engage in this relationship believing that I have the capacity to be a partner with the divine. By following these dips and swirls, God is guiding me to relationships and experiences that will make manifest the coming kingdom of God. People looking at my life from an objective observer lens may only see chaotic motion, as they may not be able to tune into the rhythm that I'm detecting. Doubtlessly, for many, my impulsive decision to apply to the ministry inquiry program seemed entirely reckless. What in the world was this woman doing? The simple answer was that I didn't know. I saw the promotional email from Carmen, and something, perhaps God herself, pushed me forward, and I knew I had to explore this feeling. And truthfully, I doubted myself. Recurrently, I imagined the worst possible outcomes, spending a summer folding bulletins or giving half-hearted sermons from a high pulpit. Not only was I worried about wasting my time, I was worried that I may compromise my sanity. But when I found my thoughts recurrently tracing back to the prospect, I knew that I had to follow this urge. I allowed myself to be pulled in. I chose to say yes. I came to Carmen as essentially a blank slate. I completely unsure about how or if my strengths would line up with any sort of congregation. I wouldn't consider myself interested in traditional ministry or conventional ministry, if you have that. So thankfully, through our conversation, I began to discern why this internship tugged at me so incessantly. Though I'm not called to be a pastor, I am called to ministry. I'm fascinated by people and faith. I love seeing how faith shapes people and how people shape their faith. I wanted to see how ministry overflows outside of a church building. I wanted to be paired with a church concerned with outreach and giving and bringing about the upside-down kingdom. I wanted to be someplace radical. I had a few contentions. I wanted to be at a church with considerable outreach and a heart for social justice. I wanted to be in an urban context, and I wanted to be with a woman pastor. Through conversation with many, I was pointed in the direction of West Philadelphia Mennonite Fellowship. As the process unfolded, I found myself in swirling motion, caught up in the synergy of relationships and the excitement of new beginnings. After confirming that I would officially be an intern at West Philly, I had the opportunity to have a Skype conversation with the pastor, Lori. Ideas just spilled out of her, and I realized instantly that I could not have asked for a better match. Potential plugins she suggested were participating in community gardens to partaking in ecumenical Bible studies. My entire being was enraptured by this prospect. I was so eager to finally plunge into an entirely new atmosphere. I was eager to listen, eager to learn, eager to give. And I'd like to share a few key moments when I sensed God ever so present in my midst, confirming the rightness of my choice. And I'd like to share how the congregants, these lovely and peculiar people, showed me what the community of God looks like in times of love and in times of sorrow. I remember the moments when I first arrived in Philadelphia so distinctly. I was searching for my family's home, and I watched as we drove in how the landscape changed from this shining, glistening city into a progressively worsening, dilapidated suburban area. My exact neighborhood had been privileged to considerable renovations, but I remember how I twisted uncomfortably when I caught my first glimpse of poverty. When I first stepped out of the car, all of my feelings of discomfort were immediately dismissed. I encountered my host family, a bumbling, hilarious bunch. Immediately, I encountered my host father running towards me, clutching his infant daughter, screeching a welcome as his son was chasing after him with a baby snake. I looked at the end of the street and I spotted his wife, who had their other son propped on her hip, and she was smiling so knowingly, and I knew that this was a place that I could belong. Further, when I entered the church building, I was instantly endeared. It was a community building utilized by a Methodist and Jewish congregations, a Narcotics Anonymous group, and a racy theater company. Beside the little sign that said West Philadelphia Mennonite Fellowship was a giant ad for the theater's latest production, featuring scantily clad men and the provocative title of Oedipussy. The building was ancient. I love the juxtaposition between the intrinsic and beautiful stained glass and the places where the building slumped, creaked, or straight up fell. The rich history was so apparent there, and I knew that there were stories packed into the walls. Within the first few weeks, I plunged into several different facets of community life. I created a biweekly newspaper in which I included congregants' narratives, recipes, and joys from the week. I hosted a women's group each week, I facilitated church meetings, and I conducted research for Lori. I remember feeling invigorated by the work I was able to do, and I remember so fondly returning to my host family, who consistently received me with the warmest embrace. I felt so privileged that they gave me such a space to belong. I was given tremendous opportunities to speak and to own space and also to share. I attended ecumenical Bible studies. I went to intentional conversations about race. I participated in voter registration drives. I performed community organizing with a group called Power. I attended the prison summit. I was able to visit various congregants in their places of work. I felt like I straddled a line between the micro and the macro reach into people's lives. I would pedal into work and partake in huge conversations, and then I would bike back to the refuge and the safety of my host family. I spent any extra time I had in the community garden and lounging in tiny backyards with friends. Throughout, I felt so wonderfully alive and so deeply connected. I was absolutely able to see how ministry overflowed into the community. I felt swallowed up in love. Often, when I would interview congregants, they would speak about their web of friends from the congregation. They would share how they celebrated together and how they held one another in difficult times. Eventually, I was able to piece together all of the individual narratives, and I visualized how they came together, holding one another, breathing life and joy into one another's lives. God was so incredibly present for me, especially in the moments that demanded vulnerability from the congregants. They were each so brave and so beautiful. In my biweekly reports back to Carmen, I reflected on this, and I'll share a portion with you now. Expressions of vulnerability in sacred places make me reflect on how God works in seasons. I reflected continuously about seasons of life as I'm up to my knees in dirt from urban gardens, relishing the feeling of grittiness between my fingers, knowing that a harvest will flourish in a few weeks. I was having a conversation with one of the congregants who has suffered tremendously, and she shared that during the winter or the hard times, everything is bare and life is hidden. But we're privileged to a crisper view. In other words, in times of hardships, we're able to discern with more clarity. During the winter months, we're not privileged to see what seems like an inevitable harvest, but there is still goodness. I've never believed that God orchestrates hardships, but I do believe that God can be present through them. I see God in the stories of people reaching out to others during the winter months, breathing sunshine into an otherwise frigid world. I now see God as we celebrate together, cultivating the earth, preparing for bounty. I was with the congregation during times of bounty, and I was able to hear stories of difficult seasons, and I was so impressed by the congregation's willingness to reach out toward the pain and give help. This narrative of reaching towards pain, of confronting injustice, was so common. West Philadelphia holds the incredible burden of poverty. The congregation is an oasis in an otherwise destitute location. Ministry poured out of every crack of the Calvary building, and ministry was so apparent in the lives of each of the congregants. They were wonderful ways that the church coalesced, and their work as a collective body is incredible. I loved seeing what they brought to the table. They were represented in places of intense and fruitful dialogue, from ecumenical Bible studies to community organizing. In each setting, they remained consistent. No matter who they were represented by, they called for honest dialogue. They were bold, but they were also gentle. They were never threatened by argument, but instead held it as essential. It is this audacity that I'm most taken by. I felt so moved, so given to, by each of the congregants of West Philadelphia, and it was their love that allowed me to live into my fullest self, quirks and all. When I delivered my sermon on the last week with the congregation, I felt myself rising to take up my sacred ground. I was pouring out words of affirmation for this church, how they had given to me, and all that their love had meant to me. As I spoke of the people's great love, I could feel myself once again sensing the rhythm of God, and I felt as though I was soaring. I'm so thankful that I listened to the tugging of the Spirit. I'm also so thankful that the Spirit moves with such gentle directiveness. I urge you to please say yes to God, to listen to the tugs and the urges that can only be divine. Please take that risky first move. Please allow yourself to dance.
Thank you, Nathaniel and Hannah. And what you just wonderfully showed us is there's no such thing as a cookie cutter MIP. Each MIP experience can be tailor-made to fit you if you want urban, if you want rural, you want a big congregation, you want a little congregation. Hannah came to me and said, I'm looking for a church that might be working on prison issues, and we found that. So come and tell me if you have a vision for what you might like to do. And we have some other MIP alums still on campus, Chris Park, Jordan Luther, Matt Noggle, Nathaniel McKnight. Evan did a kind of quasi-MIP, some other things outside the box. So we still have slots for the summer. We still have money. We have a wonderful MIP website that has links to written reflections as well as chapel reflections from former MIPers. So check that out, and the application is also online. I'm going to close this time with a prayer from Martin Luther King, Jr. I want to pray at once with singular pronouns and once with plural pronouns, because I believe you are all very much in ministry in what you're doing here and now. So join me in this prayer. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am and who I want to be and what I can do and use it for a purpose greater than myself. Use us, O God. Show us how to take who we are and who we want to be and what we can do and use it for a purpose far greater than ourselves. Amen. I think we have Friday announcements. Do we have Friday announcements? If not, then I guess read your weather vane and wherever else you find that information. Have a good weekend. Thank you for coming.